Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear again these words of our Lord Jesus. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. As we continue our series, The Art of Living by Faith, we come to a key place where faith is put into action. And yet, at the same time, it's a topic with which many, including I, struggle at times. It's the subject of prayer. I'm guessing that virtually everyone in this room would admit at some level that they wish that they had devoted more time to prayer, or that they wish they would on a daily basis. We all at some level understand that prayer is a vital part of our walk in Christ. But then life happens, and we find ourselves getting busy with all sorts of things. Or we feel like we're not equipped to pray well. Or perhaps we simply lose track of the fact that we are at all times and in all places dependent on the care of God for our life and for everything else. But today, our Creator, who has done everything for our salvation, including giving us his very own Son, invites us, calls us to pray. Not simply as his dependent creatures, but even more so as his adopted sons and daughters in our Lord Jesus. He says, call me Father. Call me Father. And such a call, the call to pray to our God as Father, is not optional. It's not a call that we can take or leave. One of the first reasons that we come to our God in prayer is because God has commanded us to do so. Martin Luther in his catechism includes the call to pray in his explanation of the second commandment, where he's talking about not misusing the name of the Lord our God. As is the case with most of the commandments, there is a negative and a positive, things to avoid and things also to do. For example, the fifth commandment commands us not simply to avoid murdering people, but it's also a call to positive action, to defend and protect and to care for the people around us. In the same way, the second commandment has things that we ought to avoid. Martin Luther will list those things as cursing, swearing, engaging in occultic practices, lying, deceiving, teaching falsely in God's name. But then there's also positive action associated with the commandment. Luther specifically lists calling upon God in every trouble, praying, praising, giving thanks. And so we come to our God because he has commanded us to do so. We hear it in his word. God will say about himself in Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble. And if you're saying to yourself, well, I'm not in the day of trouble, look again. Look at your own flesh, look at your own sinful nature, look at the world around us, and ask yourself again, do I need to trust in God? Do I need to call upon him in prayer today? Jesus will say in the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount, ask, ask, and it will be given you. And so we come before our God in prayer, one, because he commands us to. But our God doesn't simply command us to pray. He also draws us in with his promises. We can use those very same verses to illustrate the promises that God connects with prayer. Psalm 50, God says, call upon me in the day of trouble. And then he continues. He says, I will deliver you and you will honor me. Or Jesus again in the Sermon on the Mount, ask and it will be given you. These are promises from our God, and they are good news for us. And yet, these promises can also be a sticking point, a place where our faith is seemingly put to the test. For we've heard these promises before, and we've gone before our Father in prayer. We've brought our request to Him. We've asked, but sometimes it seems from all appearances that we haven't received. We pray for a sick loved one, and yet their health situation doesn't seem to improve. And either they're forced to endure with a hard situation to this very day, or perhaps death has already claimed them. We pray that God would open up a particular opportunity for us, and yet what we experience seemingly is a closed door. We pray that God would bring healing to a relationship in which we are struggling, in which perhaps forgiveness is a very difficult thing. And yet we find that that relationship doesn't seem to improve over time. In these moments, how do we find a way forward? How do we find a way to believe what we can't see? For prayer flows from faith, flows from belief. It's in times like these where I believe, at least from my own experience, the Lord's Prayer has been incredibly helpful. It's been incredibly helpful when my faith has been put to the test, when my prayer from appearances hasn't seemed to be answered, that the Lord's Prayer provides a way forward, the prayer that our Savior gave us. And so with the time remaining, I'd like to focus on that prayer that our Lord taught us. More specifically, I want to focus on the very first phrase that Jesus invites us to pray as He gives us the Lord's Prayer. If we preached on the Lord's Prayer today, we could go on for about 6 or 7 hours, I think. You know, that could be several weeks of messages. Today, I want to focus simply on the very first phrase of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gives us. He invites us to call upon God as Father, as our Father who art in heaven. To begin, it should probably be noted that not everyone has a positive experience with their earthly fathers. And as a result, that can cause problems in how they understand the work of our heavenly Father. We live in a broken world, and so often men reflect that brokenness in their relationship to their children. I'm beginning to understand that more and more as God has given me the vocation of fatherhood, that I reflect often the brokenness of this world and my own sinful nature in my calling to my children. And so often we don't have a positive experience with our fathers at times. And yet, my prayer is that we can kind of at least imagine what it would be like to have a Father who is good, a Father who provides for us, a Father who is loving and nurturing and protecting, that we could at least imagine what that would be like. So what are we, knowingly or unknowingly, confessing about God when we call upon Him as our Father in the Lord's Prayer? First of all, we confess that God is a personal being who has called us into an intimate relationship with Himself. Prayer isn't meditation on an impersonal force somewhere out there in the universe. It's communication with a personal being who has first communicated with us using actual human language in the Scriptures, and then has gone even further and revealed Himself fully to us when He gave us His Son. We're not simply praying to some God somewhere out there. When we pray, we are praying to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is absolutely wonderful news, because what has Jesus revealed to us about this God? Jesus has revealed that this God Himself is a God of love, of unconditional, driven, seeking, and finding, and self-sacrificing love. In Jesus, we come to know that this God is faithful and true, one who keeps His promises to us. In Jesus, we come to know that God is merciful, forgiving, In Jesus, we come to find a God who deals with us solely on the basis of his grace and not on the basis of what we deserve. Think about that for a moment. Allow that to sink in, because that's very important, especially as it regards the subject of prayer. Because as I mentioned in the children's message, there is this sense that many people have that God hears my prayer based on how good I've been, or perhaps if I say it the right way, if I use the right language, or perhaps if I have a special calling that puts me closer to him, like, for example, a calling as a church worker, that God will hear my prayer more fully. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been told, literally out loud, or at least it's been insinuated to me, that God will certainly hear my prayer because I'm a pastor. Guess what I get to call God when I pray to him in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. Why? Because I'm a pastor? No, because by undeserved grace, he's called me into the family. I'm a child, washed in the waters of baptism. Guess what you get to call God when you pray to him in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. Why? For the very same reason. Our standing before our Father in heaven is equal, and our standing before our Father in heaven is sure. Not because of how good you've been or because you've said the right words, but because he loves you. And because he's called you by grace, and because he's washed you in the waters of baptism and joined you to his Son. That's the reason he hears your prayer. So if you're having a great day, pray to your Father. If you're having a lousy day and you feel there is no way I deserve to come before God, pray to your Father. He loves you. And he loves your requests. And he receives you for Jesus' sake. You are precious in his sight. So when we pray, our Father, we confess God to be a personal being who has called us into relationship with himself through his Son. What else do we confess? Secondly, we confess when we call God Father that he is in a position of authority over us. In other words, he knows what's best. He knows what's good for us, and he has the right to answer based on what he knows, not on the basis of what we know. In other words, God is not a genie or Santa Claus at our beck and call. I'm sure that we at pretty much everyone in this room can think of a moment where you asked mom or dad for something when you were growing up, and because mom and dad, they were bigger, they were wiser, they had a larger view of life and what's actually going on, in their wisdom and their love, answered you with no. Maybe it was a time where you were asking for something that wasn't in your best interest. Or maybe it was a time where mom or dad knew that something better was in store, and so they said no in the moment because they had something different that they wanted to share with you. Our Father in heaven has the complete view of reality. He's bigger than we could ever imagine. He's more powerful than we could ever imagine. He's more gracious and loving than we could ever imagine. And so it is completely within his authority to answer our prayer based on his wisdom, based on what he knows is best for us and what works for our good and for his glory. And so when we confess that God is Father, it's an invitation to come before God in humble submission, but also with confidence, on humble submission, knowing that we bring our requests to him, but that ultimately our Father knows best. He ultimately knows what's good for us more than we do. But also with confidence. We come before our Father with confidence. Why? Because we know that he loves us. And we know that what he has in store for us is good. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, right? God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. We know that God knows the good, and we know that God is working the good in our life. Even if we can't understand it or see it right now, we know that it's good. And so we come before our Father in submission, but also in confidence, trusting in his love. There's a lot more that could be said about what it means to call upon God as Father. We could go on and on about that particular subject, but I want to leave you with one final thought that goes into confessing that God is our Father as we come before Him in prayer in the Lord's Prayer. One of the key functions of any father is to protect his family. As we confess that God is our Heavenly Father, one of the things that we're confessing, one of the key things that we're confessing, is that we have a God who is committed to keeping us in His protective care at all times. At all times. We pray later on in the Lord's Prayer things like, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And my feeling is that as we pray those, we don't even really have a full grasp of the magnitude of evil that is actually set against you and me. Because you and I are the children of God, because we've been washed in the water and have been claimed by our Savior, we have an enemy. The Bible calls him Satan, the devil, the evil one. We know from the scriptures that he is a murderer. He seeks to destroy us. He seeks to destroy our faith. He's like a prowling lion seeking whom he will devour. That's the evil set against us. And yet our Heavenly Father bids us, fear not. Fear not the evil one. Fear not his ways. Fear not his attacks. Why? Because you have a Father. You have a Father who loves you. A Father who is more than capable of protecting you. A Father whose strong hands will keep you until the very end. And so as we pray, our Father, in some ways, it's like the battle cry of faith. We acknowledge, yes, the evil set against us, the evil at war even within us. And yet we cry out in faith, I have a Father who loves me and cares for me, who knows my need and who will protect me to the end. No one can separate me from his love in Christ Jesus my Lord. And so we can sing with Martin Luther at the end of A Mighty Fortress, and take they our life, goods, fame, child, wife, though these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have a Father who loves you, who's called you into relationship with himself. You have a Father who knows your need and knows how best to fill it. You have a Father who will protect you and keep you to the very end. In Jesus' name, amen.